basically what the African Union has set up the peacekeeping force in CAR before that turned over to a UN peacekeeping force. And we are working closely with the African Union that just approved the multinational task force to support the efforts against Boko Haram. So our efforts are multifaceted. We work directly with the African Union. We work in supporting bilaterally countries that are making contributions to peacekeeping forces. We work directly with the UN if it's a UN peacekeeping force. So we don't have a single route for supporting these efforts. The point that I want to leave you with is that we do support Africa's efforts to provide peacekeeping support, and Africa has been a very good and close partner of ours over the past many years.
Ajong in Cameroon asks, what military assistance is the Nigerian government currently receiving from the USA in its fight against Boko Haram? And does your government have plans to support countries like Cameroon and Chad, which are proving more formidable in taking the fight to Boko Haram?
Let me start by expressing my condolences to all of the people in the region who have lost lives, their family members affected by the attacks on them by Boko Haram. We have been working very closely with the government of Nigeria for more than a year, in fact even longer, in supporting their efforts against Boko Haram in terms of providing training, in terms of providing equipment, as well as providing information through our program of information sharing. And we are very actively involved in the information fusion cell that exists in Abuja right now. We're also working closely with the neighbors, and I commend the AU's decision during the AU summit to support the multinational task force and support the countries in the region as they organize themselves to fight against the terror that Boko Haram is posing throughout the region. I have met with your president, met with your foreign minister and your minister of interior who was here last week. We are again providing support to the government of Cameroon. We just delivered, I think, earlier this week some equipment directly to the military, and we're looking at additional equipment requests that have been made to us by your government as well as by other governments in the region. We want to support their efforts to end the terror that Boko Haram is committing throughout their region, and we are committed to ensuring that these efforts succeed.
Our next question comes from Kenya. Margot Kisser, a freelancer, asks, could you please update us on U.S. involvement or negotiations in the South Sudan peace process?
Let me just say that the efforts by the IGAD governments, and particularly by the Prime Minister of Ethiopia, to find a solution for the situation in South Sudan are commendable. And we have been working very, very closely with the governments in the region to help find a peaceful solution to the situation in South Sudan. I will say that we were disappointed that at this moment the negotiations have stalled. Special Envoy, Ambassador Don Booth, is in the region now. He's working closely with the negotiators, with the IGAD negotiators, to help them to find a way to bring the warring parties to the negotiation table. I have to say again that their actions are disappointing to all of us, despite all the efforts that are being made to try to find a solution.
TVTPA asks, how is the U.S. commitment to fight Ebola in Africa?
Thank you for that question, because the Ebola fight is one that requires all of our efforts, and I have to say I'm very proud of what we in the United States have accomplished when the president made the decision to deploy U.S. troops to assist in the efforts in Liberia. It galvanized the rest of the international community. And we have worked very, very closely with others, with the Liberian government, with the UN, with other partners to find a way to end the epidemic of Ebola across West Africa. I'm very pleased that we're at a point in Liberia where they're down to single digits, but the hard work is still yet to be done, and that is getting all of these countries down to zero cases and then working on ensuring that we don't have another Ebola outbreak again. Through USAID, we have funded about 10,000 civilians who are supporting these efforts. CDC has more than 200 CDC officers deployed in the region, and we will continue to work with the governments in the region until this end. So our commitment is total, and we will not turn our backs until this is over.
Daniel from Angola National Radio asks, what is the position of the U.S. on terrorism activities in Africa, and how much can you support Africans to fight it?
Our commitment is categoric. As you know, last week we hosted the Countering Violent Extremism conference, the White House conference on countering violent extremism, and we brought together 13 African countries and the AU, along with countries from around the globe, to discuss how we can work together as partners to fight terrorism, not just in Africa, but around the globe. The issue in Africa is one that we are very much taken with. It's a high priority. We're working very closely with African partners in Somalia to fight against Al-Shabaab. We're supporting the efforts of African partners in West Africa to fight Boko Haram. We work closely with partners in Mali and Niger, in Algeria, in Mauritania to fight AQIM. And we will continue to put resources toward the efforts of supporting our African friends and partners to ensure that we end terrorism attacks that are having a negative impact on growth, having a negative impact on peace and security, and keeping young people from pursuing the goals that they want to achieve in terms of education and prosperity on the continent of Africa. Our commitment is a strong commitment, and again, it's one that we can't do by ourselves and African countries can't do alone. We have to work as partners.
Theodore, watching at our embassy in Burkina Faso, asks, what is the vision of the United States for Africa by 2020?
I think our vision is clear. Our vision is the African vision. It is a vision of peace. It is a vision of security. It is a vision of prosperity. And in order to achieve that, we have to continue to pursue good governance. We have to continue to pursue transparency and the end to corruption, and to help build economies in Africa that provide jobs and provide prosperity for all of the African people. It's a tough job. It's the vision we have today. It will not be something that we can accomplish overnight. So by 2020, I hope that we are able to see this vision start to develop into something that is concrete on the African continent.
Another question from Kenya. That's from Mohamed Adu of the Star newspaper in Kenya. President Obama has nominated an ambassador to Somalia after 25 years. Why now? The embassy will also be based in Nairobi. Why not another neighboring country like Ethiopia or Djibouti?
Well, let me just say that why not now? It's about time. It's been 20 years. I was so excited yesterday when I finally saw that we were able to announce our new ambassador coming to Somalia. And this is a sign of the improved situation there and our confidence that this country is moving in the right direction. So again, having an ambassador in Somalia is a positive thing, and my answer is, why not now? As to why we have the current operation based in Kenya, it is in terms of ease of travel. Kenya is the easiest place for us to launch our travel into Somalia. Our hope is in the long term that we actually will open an embassy in Somalia, and we won't have our embassy in exile in Kenya. But this is a good sign. It's a sign that we're moving in the right direction, that Somalia is moving in the right direction. They're not completely 100% there yet, which is why we are not stationing the ambassador physically in Somalia, but we will have our ambassador traveling there much more regularly to engage with the government and to engage with the Somali people in a normal fashion.
Staying on Kenya, one more question from Radio Ergo. Muhammad asks, corruption and poor governance force youth to join criminal gangs. Is there a plan to help African countries stop this?
Corruption, as I have said many times, is a cancer all over Africa. And corruption has kept Africa from really moving forward in this century in terms of education, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of growth. And there are a lot of people across the continent who are affected by the tens of billions of dollars that have been stolen from their economies. Following the African Leaders Summit last year, or during the summit, we announced an illicit finance initiative where we're working with African countries to help them to deal with the issue of corruption. The government of Senegal has agreed to work with us on this effort, and we're also working very closely with the AU. As you know, the AU had a high-level commission looking at illicit finance last year. This is led by former President Mbeki, and they have determined that these billions of dollars are really having a negative effect on Africa. So this is something that we all have to work on. It is something that populations have to work on. It is something that the press has to take strong positions on. But it is important that when people go to the polls to vote, that they also vote against corruption, and they let their politicians know that they do not support the continued corruption of their economies that have led them to the place where the education systems across the continent are no longer providing good education for the people of Africa, that jobs are not being provided. We know that there are some amazing young people on the continent through our YALI program. We had more than 50,000 young people apply for the YALI program in the last year, 30,000 this year. We're looking forward to announcing the 500 who will be in the YALI program, the Washington Mandela Fellowship Program. And we see the number of young people who are logging on to the YALI website. So I would disagree that corruption is leading people to be involved in crime. I think it is leading young people to take a stand and to show leadership and to be involved so that they can ensure that the next generation on the continent of Africa does not suffer as this generation has.
And a follow-up to our earlier question on Somalia from Joe Biddle of the AFP, is there a time frame when you might be able to reopen the embassy in Mogadishu?
I wish I could give you a time frame. I wish I could say tomorrow we're going to reopen the embassy. What I can say is it is in our planning process. It depends on the security situation that we're working on every day, and we're seeing the security situation improve, but occasionally we've had setbacks, as you heard last week when Al-Shabaab attacked a hotel. It was a cowardly act. They are doing everything possible to try to stop the Somali people from succeeding, and they will not succeed. And eventually, we will reopen our embassy in Mogadishu, and I look forward to being there that day.
Secretary, thank you so much for joining us here today. It's really been an honor to have you in the studio with us.
Good. Thank you very much, and I welcome you as well.
Thank you.